Welcome back, WNST, to House of Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are we're in the window at the Beaumont here at Eggs and Meller in Frederick Road. I'm surprised they still don't have the chairs out here because they were out here like in May and in June before the parade. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have about this many to give away today, and then by August the 3rd, we're going to be over Costas. I have books, shirts, hats, things, giveaways, flyers, pictures, stuff, swag that we'll be giving away in addition to fresh Maryland lottery scratch-offs. Our friends at Window Nation have also put us on the road, 866-90-NATION. I am 1 year out on the 8th of August of getting my windows put in. You buy two, you get two free. Summer-long deal. You get 2 years, 0% financing. Take advantage of that. Actually, 2 years, 2% financing. Sorry about that. Let's get that right. Donnie's here. I eat in this joint. You know, one of the weird things is State Fair came first, and you know this. How are you, by the way?
I'm great, brother.
Dude, we're going to do a little sports today. We're going to do a little football. We're going to do a little Catonsville history. We're going to do lamb chops. We're going to do that airline chicken. But this has been an unbelievable thing to witness when Don Mohler and I walked into State Fair going on 5 years ago now. It was a friendlies, trying to figure out what a diner was going to be. Evan's been on the show 1,000 times. He's out fishing today. So you've been, you know, put into this position at the Beaumont. But between the Beaumont getting open and Guapo getting open, and now the new location underneath El Guapo, there's like this total barcade speakeasy thing that I haven't totally witnessed. I was there during the building stages as I was in here when this bar was being built. This has really been an incredible thing for Catonsville, and I think you see it and feel it in here in a restaurant that wasn't open for lunch this time last year that's now crushing it for lunch. I'm witnessing a burger over here. People come in. All sorts of people walk. The State Fair thing has oozed its way over to the west side of Frederick Road.
It absolutely has, Nestor. It's been a real pleasure to be here, and State Fair really started us off, and it was our first location, really known for its big whiskey list, and that was a place to go for
chicken
happy
waffles.
Hour. Chicken and waffles and
shrimp
brunch.
Grits.
Shrimp and grits. I mean, the whole list was great. And then opened El Guapo, which is our tequila Mexican tequila restaurant. 300 plus tequilas on the bar there. Claro que sí.
That's what we
said. And that's been a big draw for us. And there's been a lot of tequila folks out there. It's the number one spirit being consumed in the nation right now. And that was great for us. And then the Beaumont just seemed like the next logical step. You know, casual fine dining, great steaks right down the street from Truth's, great wine list, and craft cocktails.
Really. We stop in all the time. I don't know that I've sat at a table more than once or twice with my back in recent years. I'm always at the bar. It's a limited bar. There's no TV here, distractions.
Yeah.
You know, if the Orioles are on Apple Plus or wherever they are, you know, go to State Fair, right? Or even El Guapo. I watch the soccer. We watch World Cup at El Guapo. I Jane Miller and Rob Roblin join me at El Guapo. Johnny O stopped by today. I was there. I mean, I like all the places, but there's something about, like, dinner for me is here. Breakfast for me is State Fair, right?
Absolutely. They do the best breakfast in town.
Guapo's the place when I'm, you know, drink ball game. I watch football. I watch NFL games in there last year. Like, I watch a Monday night game, watch a Thursday night game in there, just sort of off the beat. But, hey, let's go get some tacos and rock a couple tequilas. And yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
The TVs are rocking. And then downstairs is the newest adventure we've got going on. As you said earlier, barcade is a great way to describe it.
I didn't know what the hell that was. I mean, Evan's like, barcade. I'm like, what's a barcade? So what's a barcade?
I mean, a barcade, imagine, you know, go back to that the 80s style arcade. Think Stranger Things. That meta.
Is Miss Pac-Man in there?
Miss Pac-Man. Well, we have Miss Pac-Man on a wall. It's not the old school original tabletop version.
Where you sit across from
Each other. Yeah, that's an old classic. But we got all the classics in there. There's a golf simulator. You can go play 18 holes of, you
Golden
know.
Golden Tee?
We've got Golden Tee, but this is an actual full-on swinging golf simulator. You can go play 18 holes down there.
So it's not top golf, it's bottom golf.
No, it's bottom golf. Yeah, it's basement golf, and they're doing it right, and it's been a lot of fun.
How long has it been open?
We've been open now about 6 weeks down there.
See, Evan took me and my wife and I. It wasn't open yet because it was still like setting stuff up, getting the bar together. And Evan said, we'll be open by Monday. And I'm like, and when Evan says that, sometimes it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but it's usually not like... These places get open. Ruzzy gets these joints clicking.
Everyone's was eager to get this space open, especially. We were kind of sitting on it for a few months during the transition of ownership. And
what was it? It's like a basement underneath of El Guapo. It's crazy.
The latest business down there was a upholsterer. Had been there for many years, but it in in the years has been a bowling alley, I'm told, an old movie theater. So it's a very big, wide space that about 75% of which has been allocated to this barcade. And the other 25% is not quite open yet, but that is going to be our cocktail speakeasy bar. So it's going to be a, you know...
I was right about the speakeasy.
A true speakeasy where, you know, it's going to be hidden indoors. You need to be walked back and craft cocktails, very, you know, swank seating areas, couches, that kind of stuff. It's going to be a great date night.
The upscale part of the Beaumont? Is that what it's going to be?
It's like
the basement of the Beaumont, but you have to cross the street.
You have to cross the street. You know, we'll have someone walk you down there, get you in the right area, and you go back. Great place to do dessert. Finish with a really stellar cocktail. It's going to be a strong cocktail program down there. All, you know, all classics and all craft cocktails.
By the way, Nick made me something here. I'm half cranked up, and it's only lunchtime. What did I have?
You had the Mayan sour.
I showed my wife. I sent a picture because we had dinner here the other night. Did you put her onto that Mayan sour the other night? Were you trying to do that? Because I went with the Cabernet, which was delicious.
Yeah,
Zach Brown, man.
The Zach Brown cab is pretty impressive,
I like my cab,
right?
Chicken fried. Yeah. You know? Right?
And, you know, so the cocktails we do here really kind of, you know, on a whim, we'll try and change things up here and there. That particular drink to me was a twist in a New York sour, traditionally made with whiskey. Also helping a friend of ours out who's one of our reps.
I don't know that I like whiskey. I'm going through this, and I'm going to be at Drug City on the 4th. And you know, George down there, unbelievable spirit selection and whiskey selection over there, bourbon, rye, all that stuff. I drink tequila at home. I drink rum on airplanes. Like, literally, when I fly, I'll have, like, a rum and diet with some lime, a little Cuba Libre kind of spin.
Absolutely.
And I get off the plane in Vegas, and I'm rocked, you know, after three of those going across Kansas at 38,000 feet. But, like, I'm much more inclined to drink a beer. I'm much more inclined to drink a red wine than a white wine. But I don't know what the gateway is. Like, you're like, tequila's the number one. Like, the tequila gateway for me was Julio Bermejo in May of 1994 when I went out to see Joe Smith play out in San Francisco. And I wind up with this tequila connoisseur that poured tequila at my wedding. And so I get tequila, like, honestly, but in the last 30 years, it's sort of caught up. And at one point, it was all vodka.
Right? That was the 90s. The 90s was vodka. You know, early 2000s, we kind of started this whiskey trend. And then agave spirits really come quickly after that. But, you know, whiskey is still, I think, the heart of the American spirit, right? That's what most, is still what most guests are ordering here, you know, on a regular basis. And to
more people drink whiskey than I do.
Well, that's for sure. But I can, you know, we've got a lot of great whiskeys here we can lead you into, you know, as a gateway. I'm happy to taste you through the bar.
Listen, talk, man, I went to Jack Daniels with my wife on my 50th birthday because we played in Nashville. Remember, the Ravens played in Nashville a couple years. It was 18. It was before the plague. And we took a trip down with about 30 people. It was a boutique trip. You know, it was just sort of like, hey, it's my birthday. I don't want to take 400 people to Nashville. But the day after the game, we did a special bus that took us down to, and I drank the Frank Sinatra. I went after it all.
So you tried all the good stuff.
And I actually, like, on that day, really kind of liked it. I think the thing I don't like is scotch. I think scotch is like a different level of
It definitely is, and it's definitely
tasty. Like that bitter. You got to have a real taste for it, you know?
You do, and it's got a lot of that smoke inherent to it because of the, you know, Scotland's full of peat bogs. That's the fuel they've got there to cook the barley.
You know a lot about this.
Yeah, I've got an encyclopedia of crazy information.
Are you a mixologist officially?
Well, officially, I would say yes. You know, I've got a little bit of chef in me, a little bit of a mixologist, a little bit of accountant. You know, it's what it takes to run a
football
restaurant.
Football lineage, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't given your last name yet.
McCafferty. Don McCafferty.
Hold on. Yeah. That means something to people here.
It does.
So a guy my age, it means your dad in Mount Washington.
Absolutely.
And steaks and the piano and the cartoons on the wall
The beef jerky. Yeah.
I think those cartoons live down at Luna Del Sea.
There's a couple folks auctioned those off. I remember seeing one a big wall of them years ago in Hunt Valley at the Damon's Rib House.
I remember that.
And I
yes.
looked at the bar. I said, wait a minute. I walked over. The manager said, you want to buy one of these? I said, no, I'm quite sure you bought them from me, actually. And
so they're iconic. I don't know the artist's name, but that artist set up in McCafferty.
It did. He set up a Saturday. It was Saturday evenings. Now, I was in my early teens, so I don't quite
remember
his name.
So were you bussing there? What were you doing there?
Washing dishes, bussing tables, whatever dad needed, especially when the grease trap.
But for my audience, who's of the era of the 90s, that if they had a steak or I had I don't know that I ever ate at McCafferty's for dinner. I always had lunch there. And I had lunch there 30 times. I mean, I could tell you people I had lunch with there.
I mean,
you know?
The lunch menu there was so great. We had my favorite sandwich. I mean, I still think
steak
about
sandwich.
This. Well, they had the steak sandwich. They also had the sportsman. It was that shaved prime rib with gravy. And they had all, you know, it was it was just a great place. And the hamburger, I still have not had, you know, found one that's topped it. And, you know, luckily, I still have the recipe, so I can make, you know, can make it when I need to. But,
really?
Yeah.
I got a grill now. I live outside. Come on by, yeah. Man. Fire that thing up.
You know, but it was a great experience for me. I've been in the restaurant business my whole life. Used to ride my bike down from Gilman and bus tables, wash dishes. And that's where I got to meet all the greats. Old, you know, we had the radio show every Monday night with
Josh Lewin did the show in your place.
Well, we also, you know, Tom Matty and Bruce Laird. And
Jeff Rimmer in there before that?
Yeah, and it was great. So I'd come down and sit on, you know.
I always aspired to have a show at your dad's place because that's where BAL did their thing, and I was very competitive. Like, my 25th anniversary is coming up, and I've done things I'm really proud of. A few things I'm ashamed of that I'll still admit to doing, because some of them were fun and some of them were deserved. But when I went on the air, it was December of 91, 92, April of 92. I was on the air 5 months with Kenny Albert, and the ballpark was opening, right?
Yeah.
The Colts were gone, long gone. Your family's name meant something. Mount Washington was kind of a very coming neighborhood.
Sure.
With the tavern there, right?
Like, the tavern just opened up, and you had that old deli there that had been there for 100 years, but, you know.
And light rail was just kind of new.
Just coming in,
right?
Yeah.
Just coming in. So it was the upscale. It was before Roost Chris, but it was after the Chesapeake. Would you say that? The Chesapeake closed down, your dad got some of those customers,
sure.
And then Roost Chris and the downtown dining came back again,
you know,
right?
back in those days, early 90s, really, I mean, if you looked at old Baltimore dining, as far as the fine dining went, it was very few and far between of those staples. And we still have the prime rib, Tio Pepe's, you know, the old Hausner's. These were staples back in the 90s, and there wasn't that many restaurants. Where you look now, Baltimore's got a ton of really fabulous restaurants.
We're almost a foodie town. Oh, I went through that last week with over Coco's. Just like that food people can roll around this town and just, I roll around eating crab cakes, but like I had your lamb chops. You do this corn thing here. You're putting specials on. You have this fried lobster tail here. That's among the greatest things that you can get in this city. I mean, literally.
It really, and it's funny how easy that thing is, but we just have such a fabulous, Chef Charnay has the best flour, chicken fried, like a chicken flour to toss that in, and it's just, the spices are fabulous, and she's great. So,
yeah.
Super easy, but it's amazing. It's good quality food, done simply, but just done right.
And whiskey.
And whiskey and a lot of other things. And I love doing cocktails. And so,
well, you did a rum cocktail for me.
Sure. You know, we can do whiskey cocktails. We've got gin cocktails. I truly love just kind of, you know, something will hit me and I said, oh, I see something out. I said, I'm going to try and recreate or, you know, improve upon that. And it's the fun of the job, right? Every, you know.
Well, I would say this. I grew up in Dundalk, and not even on crab cakes, but just on dining, right? I'll say some names that people are coming to Costas on the 3rd or down the Drug City on the 4th. Graceland Inn was a place we ate when I was a kid. Smitty's. There were places on the east side that were these steak and lobster, crab cakes, like all of that. The place you want to go on your prom date, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, whatever that would be and whatever your community would be. The Fillmore Inn was over on in the Chesco area. On in the Overly area. These were all like places our parents went on a Saturday when they were trying to get smooched the right way with their wife or going out before they were going to the Club Venus in the 70s or whatever. And then like in the 80s and 90s, and I guess I fell into this because I'm a kid of that era, right? I'm a kid of the Michael J. Fox era.
Oh,
the chains, whether it was Chi-Chi's, nobody wanted to go to El Guapo, they wanted to go to Chi-Chi's. They didn't want to go to the Graceland Inn, they wanted to go to Outback Steakhouse. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the chains, Chili's, Mac, I go through all of those. That sort of has, I don't want to say it's sailed, right? But it's, Applebee's is a punchline, even though you can go there and get a fine burger and get wings and Price Point and like all that. You can get it in any airport in the world, Chili's, all that. But there's something about Beaumont's and State Fairs. And as I start to travel, and as I'm not a foodie. I look for places with great food and I'll eat anything. I eat everything. So it makes it more fun for me. But when I travel, it's these places that are this size now. And tell me, are you 80 seats? How many
goodness,
are you?
I'm about half of that.
You're 40.
I am 40. 44 80. With the bar.
44.
You know, if we count the bar seats here, about 52.
I said 80. That's how wrong I am.
It's
and I said 80 as being
a
small
heart,
number.
Yeah. And 80 is a small number.
But 50 is a smaller number.
Even smaller.
The scalability from the... I'm not down in chains because there's plenty of places out there. I mean, my friends at Mother's and Looney's and these other places that have bigger places that do entertainment, do all these things. What this concept is, I don't want to say it's new. It's sort of old, right? This is the
original 50s concept of dining.
I'm going to have a small boutique specialty, chefs in the kitchen every night. Donnie's at the door every night. When he's not here, Brad's here, and Nick's here. The same people are here, and it's neighborhood, and it's going to become your favorite place if you love it.
And really, the thing that we get such a great opportunity to do here is really showcase our hospitality and really walk in this place. I want you to feel like you're walking into our living room. You know, this is a, you know, we want to have a great experience. Want everyone to be happy. And that starts with the staff. You know, we hire the best and make sure they're doing, you know, they're doing great and they're happy to be here.
She's happy. She knows. Yeah. She's here working in the afternoon.
And it goes down and it trickles down from that. You make sure you've got the best purveyors. You make sure you're buying the best quality food and spirits. And then at the end of that, you're going to trickle down to the very best guest experience, period. And we're really able to do that on a smaller scale here because, you know, we know our guests. We know them very well, first name, know their kids' names, know what they like to drink. So when they walk in the door, it's not just, oh, hi, welcome in. You know, it's, hey, John, hey, Stat, you know, that welcome, and it's good to see you again. Here's your cocktail.
How's
the wife and kids?
This has become Dennis's favorite place. I mean, Dennis is over at Coons Baltimore 4, right? Yeah. Security, you know, and he rolls right down rolling, and, he, you know, he's been to State Fair, but he loves coming here for lunch. So, I mean, one day I'm going to get him in here for a big fat burger, but he's over in Greece having a good time. Right?
Well, you know, you can blame him, right?
I've seen the pictures, you know, blue water, white castles, it's all good. Tom McCafferty's here. He is manager, is that the
manager? General manager of the restaurant, yep.
All right, Poobah.
Poobah, yeah, that's, you know.
Well, it's Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to get the crab cakes out here and get through all of that. But just the music at State Fair and what Catonsville's become post-COVID, right? Like, destination-y, music-y. I almost came down two nights ago to see John Patty's band on the deck. Right?
They were doing great. I walked into that kind of not knowing. I said, oh, God, look who's here. You know, walked in, had a beer, and watched the show.
See, I told you I always wanted to be a BAL guy.
Yeah. It's been real exciting for us. I mean, especially, obviously, as you called the plague, COVID changed this industry. It turned it up on its head, and we all had to find ways of, you know, figuring out how to make it work for us and come out of this with our own identity and figuring out where we are. And State Fair really, really knocked it home with this live music. During COVID, we were, you know, delivering food for local families.
Well, the ability to go outdoors also.
And then having that big tent put outside so everyone could sit out there socially distanced. And then we just started with this live music.
I can't go for carry out. It became like most small places, these well-oiled machines.
Yeah.
From kitchen to door.
Yeah, you call in,
to door,
15
right?
minutes later, you come in, you've got a bag of food waiting
to
name on it.
That's a beautiful American story for the places that have remained open, and that's most of my restaurants, right? But there was a period there for everybody that there's a book in it for every business.
I've been in this industry for my entire life, and it really changed that day. And, you know, what is that?
March 13th.
March 13th. That was the day the restaurant business, we all know it died. And we all had to kind of really jump back up and figure out how to get back out there because it's such an important part of, you know, social living, right? Everyone wants to go out, wants to go, you know, have a drink, have someone made for them. They don't have to clean up. These are all important things. But how do you do that safely? And how do you do that, you know, in keeping with the times? And it's been a challenge for sure. But it's a fun challenge.
Well, absolutely, man. For me, getting out and talking about these stories and places that are open, places that are thriving, communities that are thriving, and what we're trying to do for Baltimore in general sense. You know, I was at Coco's in Lauraville last week and Faintley's downtown 2 weeks ago, and we're trying to get it all together. The food community and the part of the crab cake and the crab. Well, the crab was on the menu at your dad's place 30 years ago, and it's sort of... You had, when I was in here an hour ago eating my airline chicken, you're talking about an oyster event that you're having here. That we have the Bay, and it's such a unique, and when I say unique, it is unique to us.
It truly is. And, you know, that oyster event you speak of, we're always going to be partnering with the Oyster Recovery Partnership. And, you know, they're, like I told you earlier, probably my favorite nonprofit in the state of Maryland.
What do you love about them?
Well, their job is to restore, you know, the body of water that put us on the map, that it's our lifeline, it's our lifeblood, it's our, and what they do is they take these old oyster shells and they repurpose them. They replant baby oysters on them and then put them out in strategic locations around the
oysters
bay.
Oysters oxygenate the crabs.
And that's it.
No oysters, no crabs.
An adult oyster filters 50 gallons of water a day. That's a lot of water, you know, to get filtered. Imagine having a bag of 200 of those guys.
Right.
Strategically placed throughout the harbor, and that's their job, and that's what they do. So restaurants like us, when we serve raw oysters or serve cooked, we save those shells, and we have bins that we save the shells in. They take come and pick the shells up.
I've seen them down Hooper's Island. Yeah. They're all piled up
right
out in front of Old Salt.
You know, four or five stories of oyster shells baking in the sun, then they can inoculate them with new babies, and it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive system. And,
I'm going to do oysters for my 25th. I mean, let me get one thing. I'm trying to figure out Raven season, an actual Oriole pennant race.
I mean, right? listen. I haven't seen the birds play this good.
We got my 25th anniversary. We got football season coming, baseball season. It's real. All these things happening. But I am committed to doing something oystery in the fall. I just haven't had enough bandwidth. I wanted to do 25 and 25 days in September. I'm going to wait it out because, like, what I wanted, I think I can eat oysters 25 different ways.
Oh, absolutely.
In 25 days. Oh. Like, beyond raw or with this or with that topping, but, like, how they'd be charbroiled, how you would oyster Rockefeller, how you would add a bacon, a spinach, a butter,
garlic. I mean,
garlic,
a million different ways of doing it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing for a kitchen to work with. There's so many different options. It's pretty much a blank slate, you know, and then it's laid upon who the chef's making it. It's a really wonderful thing to work with.
I hadn't had a fried oyster. I don't say in my life, but, like, I've never ordered it in a restaurant because I'm always more interested in the fried shrimp or the fried chicken or the scallops. It just was further down my list.
Oysters are inherently a Baltimore food. And, you know, like I said earlier, that the oyster canning business put the city of Baltimore on the map. And that was the first industry in this great city. And that's why they're so important to our lifestyle and who we are as a culture.
I'm getting an education from you. I'm glad I invited you on the show. Yeah. I knew you weren't not. See, I thought we were just going to talk about football.
Can talk football too.
So I want to talk football. Gina Shock's coming over. When she gets here, we'll break. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. We're in Catonsville. We're at the Beaumont. What would you tell people the Beaumont is as the general manager of Beaumont?
We're a great casual fine dining restaurant that we focus strongly on steaks, great cocktails, great wines, and just having fun.
And the sign's right outside the door here. I can put it on. See, that's all you need to know. It's right out there at Beaumont. We're right here on Frederick Road. He's Donnie. So explain the lineage of your family and your... I think you're younger than me. I'm 54.
Yeah, you've got me by a few years.
So you were not on the planet when your grandfather won the Super Bowl.
No, unfortunately, I was not born yet, and he had passed before I was
born.
And you know,
wow. So your grandfather is to you what he is to me, which is just I was on the planet at the same time, but just a legend.
A legend. You know, I'm named after my grandfather. I'm Donald William McCaffrey II. You know, since I was born, you know, after he passed, I took that suffix to the second. But I grew up, my grandmother, his wife, June McCaffrey, was probably the biggest sports nut you could ever imagine. She knew more about the Orioles baseball players on the field than any...
When you were a kid, in the 80s
well,
and 90s.
80s,
like
90s, till the day she died. Knew more about the sports teams in Baltimore than any... pro analyst on the planet, right? This woman knew sports. She was a model that my grandfather married when she was in her early 20s, and he was coaching. And, you know, he was the head coach of the Baltimore Colts, old Easy Rider. And I got to grow up sitting on Johnny Yu's knee and Artie Donovan's knee, hearing the old glory day stories and, you know, holding
Well, they would come in your dad's restaurant,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, we did the radio show, and I'd sit there and hanging out with the guys and, you know, hearing stories about my grandfather and hearing all this stuff. And I tell you, you know, Nestor, the craziest thing is all my whole childhood I grew up seeing still-framed photos of my grandfather, hearing stories about him. And it wasn't until the Ravens made it to the Super Bowl or the week before the Super Bowl in 2000, I was at home scrolling through DirecTV and just going down the channels and happened to land on the NFL Network, and it was a replay of the Super Bowl V. New York Jets versus, you know, or the Dallas Cowboys versus the Colts. And that was the first time I saw my grandfather walking in, you know, up and down the field in motion. And it was really
transcendent.
I was 18.
All right.
18. And
you had never fished out video or no?
Well, you know, back then it was it was few and far between, right? We didn't have much
YouTube,
video.
Right.
Yeah. Like, well, YouTube maybe just been coming, you know, up and coming around 99, 2000, right?
But so, your dad never pulled you up and said, here's videos of Grandpa.
No. Right? I saw a lot of stills.
See pictures and stuff. So I brought some stuff today. So I have this as a part of my catalog here. This is John Steadman's book, The Baltimore Colts Pictorial History. So I don't know that.
That's it.
He's in this, but I'm sure he's in this.
He
Look
is.
At this.
Yeah.
The Mike Litwin piece, it's just not the same.
Oh my.
Although Baltimoreans still pine for Johnny U and the old Colts, they're glad to have the Ravens. We were glad to have the Ravens. So
absolutely.
I don't know how this story wound up in here, but it got ripped out, so it's Sports Illustrated. This is the way I keep my old clippings. But so I'm doing this for my 25th anniversary a little bit. If you're coming down to Costas on the 3rd, I'm giving away everything that's not nailed down. So Get Nasty shirts, Free the Bird shirts, hats, old stuff. I'm not giving this away or any of my John Steadman stuff. But, you know, it just I paged through this because I was wondering when it was made, and I saw the modern pictures and Dick Szymanski and Ernie Accorsi and Chuck Thompson and Fred Schubach and, you know, there's the 78 cheerleaders.
And the band, the Colts band, right? I mean,
John. I mean, yeah, I could get John over here. So I was trying to see if there was a picture. Now, see, I probably was at this game here. There's Lenny Moore and Lydell Mitchell on the field together. I went to all these games in the mid-70s. So George Koons, we got great pictures. Joe Ehrman, Joe Namath. Getting sacked by Fred Cook. That's part of the sack pack there. Did you go to Colts games or no?
I went to I was too young to go to Colts. I was lucky enough. I was standing on the sidelines when the Colts replayed Super Bowl III against the Jets. So I was lucky enough to meet Joe Namath in the locker room. I was on the sidelines sitting next to Bubba Smith, and it was a flag football match versus the old Jets and old Colts. And this is probably in 94, somewhere around that ballpark. And it was really special to be able to see the old guys, and they had a great game, and I got to stand on the sideline. I'm standing next to Bubba Smith, high tower from the movies, and it was pretty impressive.
Super Bowl V, there you go, right?
That's it.
This is the one, right? January 17th, 1971, 2 p.m. at the Orange Bowl. Unitas getting crushed here right now by George Andre.
I mean, how tough was Unitas? That guy, I mean.
Earl Morrill comes into the game here. Fumble Dwayne Thomas. Look at this, man. Jim O'Brien kicks the ball just
the game,
above number 45 of the Cowboys. Colts 13, Cowboys 13.
10.
Well, it was 13-13, and then it was good. Then 16-13. And there it is.
That's so beautiful.
Jim O'Brien. Weird carpet, weird fake grass they played on that day, but in 1973, or 71, excuse me, before that. So anyway, some Colts memories. Now, this is my – so I have this. I have some Steadman stuff, right? I have some – but this is my Colts heirloom. You know I collect rock and roll belt buckles.
Oh, yeah,
right?
And you're wearing a great one today, by the way. You know.
What am I wearing today? You already saw it?
I already saw it. Well, I'll let you tell them. Ian.
Well, I'm wearing the Cars today. So I wore this for Gina Schock because she's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and a little bit of a new waiver. So that's my Cars belt buckle today. So you can check that out. So I wore that, and I literally ran back in the house. I pulled the car out, and I stopped halfway. And was like, is everything okay? I ran back in to find this book, and there is not a picture of Don McCafferty in there. But This is my Baltimore Colts.
Oh, man.
You know, is there anything more beautiful?
There is nothing more nostalgic than that. That is. I love it. That is.
So, anyway, I have a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer giving me the middle finger and Johnny Cash outside the window. They brought their dog. They got a service dog. Bring him in. So inviting people out here, you guys never close anymore, right? Like,
no,
I'm worried, like Monday lunch, I'm like, are you open? You're open.
Open.
Wednesday lunch, open, right? Always open.
11:30, 6 days a week. We're open 11 a.m. on Sundays for brunch. We have a great brunch menu. Great cocktails. Charnay does a wonderful pound cake French toast, if you can believe that.
What?
She takes some pound cake, batters it, griddles it.
I'm going to need a nap if I come get
well,
that on Sunday.
It's got enough sugar and it'll keep you up. And follow that with an espresso martini and you're in good shape.
Well, Donnie, I appreciate you, man. Come on over, see Don McCafferty. I can't believe if there's an indices in here to find the picture of your granddad, but I thought for sure there's Jim O'Brien, but that's good. But do you have any heirlooms, mementos?
Oh, I have a
program,
ton,
tickets,
ton,
like
of, ton of memorabilia, yep, absolutely. So I still, still get to see pictures of my grandfather.
All right, so here's the deal. Next time we do the show together,
I'm going to bring in some
you
good. Bring some good swag.
Show and tell.
Absolutely.
Show and tell.
Show and tell, brother.
All right, man. General manager over here. There is a real Baltimore Colts connection over here. Crab cake's coming out. I got Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Shock here. Listen, she's sitting at the table over there. I put her band together. Okay, I'm like the Simon Cowell of the House of Shock. She and I have literally not spoken a word about it. We have not spoken to each other since she hugged me and stole my crab cake. She stole my crab cake over Costas. We did a Christmas show over there. She came in, ate my crab cake, did the show. We had the tree. Next thing I know, I had a guitar player for her, a bass player for her, a drummer for her.
No crab cake.
And now she has a band.
Well.
And I'm buying her a crab cake here because I love her.
I love it.
Gina Shock from the Go-Go is going to be up next. It's Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Giving these away here will be a Costas on the 3rd of August. The reason Gina's not doing it in Dundalk, she's going to be back on the West Coast, so she wanted to come out today. Ray Bachman was supposed to be here today. Keep Ray in your prayers. He busted his knee up. Send him a note out on Facebook. I think he's going to be okay, but he's in a lot of pain. Ray was supposed to be here today. Who the hell needs Ray when I got McCaffrey's grandkid?
We had fun. Right?
We had a good time around here. Ray, get better soon. We'll see you at it. The 25th anniversary has taken on this incredible life. And I'm so happy that I'm going through all of this old stuff, finding reasons to have like things like this to break out and tell stories, because it's the thing we've done better than anybody around here for 25 years. Our friends at Raskin Global, I'm going to christen this. This is a special.
I like that, Mel. I noticed you got a bottle opener on the back.
It has a bottle opener.
That's
the way Leonard Raskin rolls.
I mean, that's the way Baltimore rolls.
He came back from Alaska. I wonder if he used these on Alaskan stoke crab claws, but we'll find out on August 3rd over Costas.
Yeah, I think so.
And our friends at Winter Nation, of course. I have the wacky hat. I'll put it on because Gina's got some fun clothes on, too. She's all rock and rolled up, her and Wendell. Winter Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. Special financing plan. It's hot out there. If your windows are sticking, like mine were, they were 39 years old. Replaced them last August. It just was a great thing to do. Winter Nation, 866-90-NATION. All right, back for more at the Beaumont. I would show you the airline chicken.
But he ate it.
I would show you the Mayan
sour, but
I drank it. But I do have some water here, and Gina Shock's going to join us. We're going to grab a crab cake here today. Might get some fried green tomatoes.
Maybe a fried oyster for you to try there.
Gina
next,
and I are from Dundalk, so we're going to eat whatever you put in front of us. You know, we're Dundalk people. So, Gina Shock, one of my all-time favorites, and one of my bucket list guests who's become a friend of ours. I can't wait to—I don't want to say tell the story of the House of Shock. I don't know the story of the House of Shock, other than— Hey, Ed Lauer, Jay Swanson, John Allen, Steve Ports, they're in the band. We'll learn more from Catonsville, which is this the music capital of Maryland?
Music City, Maryland, baby.
Music City, Maryland. Can't do better than the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.